are many wonderful things. So many wonderful things that are true of us as God's people. Or another way that we might think of this particular message today is the benefits of being a Christian. Oh, Lord, one sermon would never be able to cover all of that. But we're going to cover as much as our time affords us. Father, we do pray that your Spirit would be the one to lead us. God bless. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing that we want to look at is that a benefit that we have is being holy. Okay?
Good.
And I realize that we don't always feel holy. And certainly we don't always act holy. I understand that. But it is nevertheless true that we are holy in His, God's, holiness for our sanctification. Sanctification is a big word, theological word, but what it means is to be set apart for God, and to be sanctified is to be set apart holy, H-O-L-Y, for God. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not see his did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, and from the hand of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And you may be thinking by now, hey, that sounds good. And that business there, thou art a holy people. But that's talking about Israel, Pastor. Don't you understand? And we're not Israel. Yeah, I understand. But I also understand that the blessings he gave onto his people to a large part, now not the national blessing. Okay, not the national blessings. We are not the nation Israel. But the blessings that he put on the individual Jew. Listen, that tells us how God works with his people. As a matter of fact, Peter declares us to be a royal priesthood. We are kings and queens, if you please. And Peter talks about, about us being a holy people. We're set apart to God. And so though these things are about Israel, they are nevertheless true about us also. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 14, Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 2, where he again says, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth." So he said we're holy. He said we're to be peculiar, a peculiar people, a different people. Not ordinary, but we are extraordinary because of God's work in us. Now let's go to the New Testament. In the New Testament, we'll see some of the things that Peter says. We're going to 1 Peter. We're going to look at chapter 1. 1 Peter, chapter 1. Verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So here you see, Peter is telling us, as he gives it in verse 1, says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Asia there is what was known as Asia Minor, the whole area of what much of which is now Turkey, okay? And the Pontus, that was a particular geographical region. Galatia, in the New Testament, we have a book to the Galatians. That was another geographic area. And then you have Cappadocia, you have this Asia, Asia Minor, and Bithynia. All of these are geographic areas. And the apostle of Jesus Christ, that's Peter, writes to the strangers scattered all through those areas. And now that's interesting, isn't it? Strangers. And you know, when you check that out, I read four or five different views of who the strangers are. Strangers were Jews that had become Christians. Strangers were just the Jews. Strangers were the Gentiles. Now, I tend to lean toward that as far as who the strangers are. But whoever they are, God says he called them. And he called them to be holy like he is holy. And so that means he is our pattern. And because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So one of the benefits of being a Christian is that we are, by God, considered holy. I'm just letting you think a little bit about that. Do you feel very holy? You see, we have this concept in our minds of what being holy is. And it is something out there that is unattainable. Then why did God say, be holy because I'm holy? Do you think God would give us something that he wants us to be that we can't be? I mean, that is just, that doesn't make any sense. It's impugning God. If God says, be holy, for I am holy, then we can be holy. Right. In some cases, it sure does mean there's going to be a lot of changing in the lifestyle. Huh? Yeah. It's holy language. Now, that doesn't mean you walk around talking religious stuff all the time. It means you don't talk unholy stuff. Right. And so many things. Be holy. And then the second thing, one of the benefits of being a Christian, the second thing is to be helped by his strength in times of suffering or any kind of difficulty. It may not be suffering, maybe other difficulties, but to have his strength for those times. We're going to go to the book of Acts, chapter 26. Book of Acts, chapter 26, where we read about this matter of his help. Acts chapter 26 and verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God. Okay, what was the help of God that he obtained? Okay, look at verse 21. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Okay, he had the help of God. They were going to kill him. And by God's help, that didn't happen. So he says, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great. In other words, he had this experience where these people wanted to get him, they wanted to kill him, but he did not allow that to cause him to stop. Yeah, you know, I better back off. Well, if I don't back off and stop this talk about Jesus, I'm going to end up dead. And then what good will I be to anybody? Now, that wasn't his reasoning. His reasoning was, I need to continue witnessing both to small and great. In other words, the average, ordinary person, and then whatever person of stature above that. Maybe it was governmental leadership. Maybe it was religious leadership, okay? He said, both small and great, he's just going to keep serving the Lord. They may have been poor. They may have had a lot of money. Doesn't matter. He was just going to keep witnessing both to small and great. Now, you notice what he was going to do? He was going to witness within the fundamental church or Bible-believing churches or conservative churches or whatever you want to call them, okay? Within those circles that we are, I'm of great concern because of the reaction against, there was an emphasis on soul winning 15, 25 years ago or more. There was an emphasis on soul winning, and it was not always scripturally based. And many people that participated in that came to a great point of disappointment. They didn't see people accept the Lord. They didn't see any fruit for their efforts. And so they became discouraged, and they've just quit is what it amounts to. But that didn't happen to Paul. Paul continued until the day that this was being written. He says, I continue to this day. Can't do more than that. Okay, but he was continued to this day to witness both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. So what was his witnessing? It was about what the prophets and Moses said was going to happen. And our witnessing needs to be telling people. So often we would approach people and we would share with them what we call a plan of salvation. Sometimes it was verses all from the book of Romans. Sometimes it may be an assortment of scriptures all from the book of John, the Gospel of John. Many plans of salvation would have an assortment of scripture. And they would always, in a concise way, enable the Christian to tell the unsaved person about God's love, their need of salvation, and how God would save them. And the way that approach was misused caused great delusion. I used to say during that era that I could go up to anybody on the street and I could give them the plan of salvation and I could secure from them a yes and even a prayer. But you didn't see them in church, okay? And you didn't see them seeking. As a matter of fact, when you would see them again, they would try to avoid you because they didn't want to be buttonholed. And I'm talking about a way of talking to people, okay? If you say one, what's next? Two, right. And if you say two and ask them what's next, what are they going to say? Three, right. And then once they've said three, and you've explained that, and what comes after three?
Four.
Okay, you get the response. You program the response that you want.
Good.
You see? Now, listen. Sharing the scriptures. Listen to me now. I don't want you hung up on what I just said. Listen to me now. Sharing the scriptures is never wrong. But you can be wrong about how you go about sharing it. And that's what's caused a problem. Okay? And now, you see, what happens is people, here's another one of them neat sayings, throws the baby out with the washwater. And okay, so all right, because sharing the scriptures in the wrong way is bad, well, then I'm just not going to share them. That way I can't be guilty of sharing them wrongly. No, that's saying, let that guy that I work with die and go to hell. That's saying, let my cousin die and go to hell. That, obviously, that can't be right. Hey, you know where that saying, throw the baby out with the wash water, came from? Back when families only bathed once a week, okay? And I remember doing this. In the summertime, when I was around 8, 9 years old, I'd go up to a family and live on the farm with the family. And the boys, we all bathed out of a basin on the back porch. And the girls, they had to be inside, okay? And so we'd all bathe, and boy, that basin was bad. I mean, there were 3 or 4 of us bathing out of that one basin. And not good. Well, they have a bigger tub, and the family would wash in it. Mom and Dad washed first, okay? So they washed first. They had the clean water. And then the next oldest child, and down through until the last one that was bathed was the baby. And the water was so dirty, okay? Now, you know, if the baby went under the water, I realize it's going to drown. So I don't know how they explained that. But the water was so dirty, you couldn't see the baby in it. So they throw out the dirty water, and oh, there was a baby in it. Okay, so don't throw the baby out with the wash water, dirty water, okay? So don't stop giving people the scriptures because many have misused it, okay? And that's, I'm afraid, that's what churches have come to, all right? Now, I'll say it again. We have tracts over in the track rack. We'll soon put Christmas tracts up there, and you can get tracts. And when you go shopping, you go to the store, you can give a tract. Now, listen. You have got to plan on it. And I know how difficult it can be. I don't know how many times I've been sitting at a restaurant eating, came time to, you know, pay, and I reach in my wallet, and what happened to my, I had witness cards. We have some little ones over there, you know, that'll fit in a wallet nicely. And I go, what happened? I had 18 of them in there. Not really. But I had them in there, and they're gone now. So you have to plan for this. Understand how it, you know, it can be. And you don't have to. You shouldn't preach a sermon. If you're going through the checkout line at Walmart, okay, and you got a talkative clerk, don't take that as a cue to take the next 10 minutes to witness to them. Better for you to just give them a track and say, listen, I want you to know I got a lot of these Christmas presents, but this track tells you what Christmas is all about. Now, you may already know that, but I'd like you to take it and read it on break time or maybe at home. That's all you need to do. And it can be a witness for Christ. Or if the clerk is frustrated, you know, something didn't go right, you know, try saying, bad day today. She's going to roll her eyes and look at you, you know, and say, look, I want you to know that when I get out to my car, I'm going to pray for you, that God will help you to have a better day. And let me tell you, that's going to speak volumes, okay? And do we care about people? If we care about people, we'll do something to speak to you. You say, well, I'm not comfortable doing that. Well, then find what way you are comfortable. You know, God didn't call us to be comfortable. He called us to be a witness. Well, that's out of my comfort zone. You think it was Paul's comfort zone for people he said they went about to kill me? Was that Paul's comfort zone? And he says, but I continue witnessing. Was that Paul's comfort zone when they stoned him and left him for dead outside the city? Paul's comfort zone? We have become such namby-pamby, weak-kneed Christians today. I got myself going. I was going to say, don't get me going, but you didn't. I did. Okay, but we have his help. And that's what Paul had, was his help. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now we realize that Paul had some afflictions physically. We often tend to look at that from the physical problems. But I talked about this matter of witnessing. Can we not say that his grace is sufficient for us to be a witness? And that my weakness God will take and use and strengthen me for the purpose? Well, I'll let that up to some other people. Yeah, everybody's letting it up to other people. Hebrews, book of Hebrews, same subject, Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You think if we pray for God's grace to help us and tell God, hey, look, I'm willing, you know it, I can't do it, but I'm willing, and you take along a couple tracks and you pass them out. Okay. Pat would have to give the verification of the details, but she worked at one time at what was Bradner's department store. That's where Walmart is now, the Bradner building was. And she worked in the greeting card department. They would wrap presents and other small gifts there. And I'm trying to think of her, I don't know, what was it, 3 years working there, what the number of tracts only was that she was given. I'll have to check this out and come back and report it to you. But it was unbelievably few for the number. And there were a lot of times she knew who the person was. Father in heaven, help us to be a faithful witness for you. Then we also have, as a being a Christian, we have the honor of his fellowship for service that we give. And many of you give various kinds of service. Boy, when when this worship service is over, when we're singing the closing song, you're going to see about a half dozen people get up and go out. Three or four of them are going to be ladies that go downstairs. The others, I don't know where they're going. They just get up and go. Really? They're not going downstairs to help get the fellowship meal ready. They just want, I'm tired of sitting and everybody's moving around. Get up and go. I'm going to join them sometime, you know. I've been up here standing all this time. I think I'll just go. And, Tim, you come up and close. No, it doesn't work that way. But we have many people in various kinds of service. We have Sunday school teachers who just finished teaching. We have substitutes. The reason we have substitutes is not just for when the teacher's sick. But the substitute is supposed to, not always do the teachers do this, but they should, okay? But another purpose of the substitute is that it gives the teacher a break and they can be in class learning, okay? And a substitute. Then it also keeps the substitute in practice, okay? And in contact with the kids in that class. So that they're known by them. So we have teachers and substitutes. They're serving. We have trustees. They serve. Okay? We have volunteers who clean the church. They serve. There's many. We had young men this morning out shoveling the sidewalk. Amen. All right? And that's service that they give. We had another one carrying the bag of ice melt. Okay, and he was diligently spreading the ice melt around. And so that's service. You see, there's various kinds of service. Sister Ruth Ann prints the bulletin that we have. Okay, that's a form of service. There's all kinds of... Sam sits over there, you see. He's sitting there. He's sitting next to the blue lights. He could work at Kmart and have a blue light special. And some of you that don't know about Kmart years ago don't understand that. But nevertheless, Sam runs the audio system. Okay? That's a form of service. Sister Pam is not here today, but she takes care of the library. There's all kinds of good books in there that you can check out and read, okay? And she does, that's a form of service. Now I'm looking over here. Here sits Sister Pascarella, and she's the Sunday school treasurer. That's a form of service. Do you see all kinds of service? And we are honored in his fellowship for service. The Gospel of John, chapter 12. John, chapter 12. I'm looking at verse 26. John chapter 12, verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there also shall also my servant be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father, what? What's the next word out loud? Honor. Yeah, we're honored in fellowship serving the Lord. Now, when the ladies go downstairs, they're not just getting the food ready for us to eat. They're serving the Lord. Okay? If they were just, they could do that down at Copper Keg. As a matter of fact, we had a dishwasher that was down there. Okay? And now she washes dishes downstairs sometimes. And you know what? There, it's for the Lord. Amen? And we have others. I know Abigail, I've seen her there, and probably one or two of her older sisters we have seen there. And maybe it would be Lydia and Bethany. Okay? I got them names down. And I only need 3 more years to get the rest of them. Okay? They're there helping. They're serving. Let me show you another form of service that can be given here in the church. Many times when I come to church, I've got food to go downstairs. Today I had a poster about a missionary who's coming on Wednesday, December 8th. Okay? A Paul Victor. Okay? Or is it Victor Paul? One of those two words. He's from India. Okay? His dad had a Christian mission there, and he got saved under the ministry of his dad. Now, you can go over there and look and see what his last name is. I would never attempt to say it. I could say it, and you wouldn't know if it was right or not, okay? But it is, whoo! Anyway, he's coming Wednesday the 8th, okay? And so I come in here, I got food to go downstairs, I got a poster to put up, I have some papers to lay out on the table. It's not uncommon that I'll have at least 2 people, sometimes more, that I need to see with a message, things to ask, okay? Often have mission letters to be handed out. Then here's another form of service. I'll go find Grace and her sister Autumn, okay? And I'll give them to them to distribute to the families. That's a form of service. Do you get what's happening? Now, when I come in with all these things to go in different places, if Luke's here, I can count on him coming up to me and saying, "Can I do anything for you, Pastor?" That's a form of service. Okay? And so I might give him, I take this cake downstairs. And you know, since we don't get plastic bags anymore in New York, they are precious. And therefore, and especially big ones, because you know that whole 9x13 cake pan, you can't get them in the average plastic bag. You need the big bags. Now, if you need to, go shop in Bradford, okay? And then you can get them. And buy something big that they need to use a big bag for. Might be a big bag of popcorn or something. But anyway, he'll take it down and I'll say, and put the bag in the back seat of my car, would you please? And he always does. Listen, that's a form of service. You know, I just thought that's something he does. It is something he does, but it's a form of service. Chelsea there scared me to death when she came up and put the phone to record the service. If from the phone it's taken and put on the onesoulatatime.net website, okay? She comes up, she puts the phone here, but she was carrying the baby when she came up. Charity's baby, okay? Well, and Sam's baby too. She was carrying the baby, and I thought, oh man, she bringing me the baby? You know. I really knew she wasn't. But bringing that phone up and coming and get that phone, that's a form of service. Now they're going to go past the people that sit at, what is this? I'm loud. Just say it. What is it? A piano. Young congregation. Piano. And we have ladies that sit at it and play. This afternoon, Leanne is going to play. We'll be able to pick favorites. This morning, Amy is playing. Grace played Sunday school. They rotate around different services. That's a form of service. Goodness. I didn't have any of this down. But just as I'm looking around, I'm seeing people and I'm seeing what they do.
Right.
There's Lily. What's Lily do as a form of service? Puts the hymn numbers up. They don't get up there by themselves. D.L. Moody said, I'd rather have 10 men doing one job than 10 jobs done by one man. You see? I could put them hymn numbers up. I know that. But it's a form of service. It helps that I don't have to add that to what I do when I come in, you know. And pastors, obviously we know pastors perceptive, but I'd say within the last year, when I come, if he's standing out there in the side entry area, he'll say, welcome, Pastor, good to see you. He'll shake my hand, but unless it's important, now if it's important, then he must engage me. Otherwise, he knows I've got, you know, proverbial 101 things to do. And so he doesn't try to engage me in a pleasant little conversation about the weather. Because he knows what I've got to go and do. And so, how many forms of service are there? We have named so many. And I'm sure there's something that I've not covered. But I didn't even know I'd share this many when we started. Boy, isn't God good?
Amen.
To allow us these opportunities to serve him. And he says that he is going to honor us. It's an honor to serve God. You want to get tired? You want to get weary physically and even mentally? Go travel with the Morris. Okay? They've gone, 5 weeks this last time? There was a time before that they were gone even longer. They go from one church to another church. Some churches have prophets' chambers, a place of lodging. Other churches don't, and therefore they need to get themselves a hotel, a motel, Airbnb, or whatever. They need to find a place. And then they traveled and traveled. And how about this last time? They were getting ready to come home. And the car decided it wanted another transmission. Broke down. Boy, that's the fear, I think, of missionaries when they're on deputation to have a breakdown. So they had a breakdown. Near what town was that? Asheville?
Hickory.
Okay. That was near Hickory, North Carolina. And so they had it, you got it towed into there. You were able to drive it?
Real slow, yep.
Real slow, okay. So they got it in there. Praise the Lord. So they have a form of service they're doing as he goes around. All of the work to the prisoners that they do, the prayer letters. No, hey, you got prayer letters for me. You gonna put them in the car? Oh, you forgot the prayer letters. Good night. Mrs. Hain, she misses coming to church, but once a month, they give her the prayer letters when they don't forget them. And I really love it, because that's the sort of thing I do. But anyway, then she folds them and puts them in the envelope, puts the stamp on. That's a form of service. You know, Mrs. Hain, I said, I'm sure there's other things I haven't thought of. She is delighted when the ladies from the kitchen downstairs send along, and they've learned me also. They put them in the bag in the car, okay? Because they know if they leave it on the coat rack, it'll probably be there Wednesday. I get home, Pat loves to launder. I don't know if love, that might be a strong word. She likes to launder those dish rags. It's a form of service. One of us could take them home. That's no problem. Don't you take her jobs? There isn't a lot she can do, and she likes doing that. And so, you know, send them home. Now, don't start including your own towels in the washcloth. We go from one normal Walmart sack to a big white bag, you know. Somebody's saving soap. But he tells us here, him will my Father honor. Folks, these are important things. We like the church we attend. We're pleased with what's here. But it doesn't just happen. It takes people to make it happen. And we're grateful and thankful for that. Hey, I look over there and I see Randy. Randy, you still mow the lawn around the church? I'm not going to ask that way. You don't have to answer. Randy mows the lawn around the church. Okay? You know, grass doesn't just all of a sudden get cut. It has to be mowed. And so all of these are things that God does. And there are more things that he does. Benefits of being a Christian. And I'll share some of them another time. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of the month, and that's when I usually teach. Now, as Pastor said to me before they left to go down south, he said, neither of us thought that you would be teaching Sunday school all November. and we didn't. But next Sunday is the first Sunday of the month. Now, if Pastor wants to take it, he may have it, okay? But if not, I think what I'll do is take the time to share the rest of the benefits of being a Christian. But right now, we're going to pray. Father in heaven, you're good to us. And we thank you for that goodness. My, it was encouraging to just think about all of these forms of service that people get. Lord, I pray that you will bless them. You told me that you'll honor them, and I claim that honor for them. I pray, dear Father, that their motive and purpose in doing these things is right and righteous before you. But we thank you, Father, surely, for everything that's done. Now bless, dear Lord. We pray the remainder of this service as we sing the closing song. Amen.
Amen.